No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today I'm here with the living legend himself, Ghostface Killah. How you doing, bro?
Yo, what's up? It's good.
Hey, it's dope to be here.
Yeah.
We were supposed to be up in the studio all last night, so I got to see you at work, which was very, very, it was incredibly rewarding to see the actual process after like 20 years of fandom.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, that yesterday was a fight, just for two bars, you know what I mean? But that's how it be sometimes when you're doing like a different flow.
Right.
And you trying to, because it was, that's what it was. It was based on the flow. Mm-hmm. Trying to catch those little two lines to hurry up to get ahead and try to make it fit right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It was fascinating.
Yeah, so that shit, it was really, really, it was, like I said, it was a fight. It was beating me up last night.
It was fascinating because I won't say what the record was, but it was basically you getting on a record that some, you know, much more new age rappers had already rapped on, and you were sort of trying to figure out what the way to go into battle was in terms of, oh, we got this guy and he's rapping with this certain cadence. Well,
right.
I'm Ghostface Killah and I rap a certain way, but how should I rap in comparison to him in order to have the maximum effect on the track?
Right, to do that, yep, and then still make it sound like relevant.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you right there with them, like, ah, you ain't sounding like 93-ish or nothing like that or whatever. You know what I mean? So, you know, yeah, so I had to really, like, you know, kind of like, I try not to bust my brain, you know what I mean? Because I know that today's music is a lot, it's not like how we came.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Deck was like a bomb atomically, Socrates, philosophies, and that's kind of like, it's still there, but it's like a whole new generation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The generation from 18, 17, you know, 20, 22, 23s is like, it's different mm-hmm. from them. They don't really like take that time and to really like think about those kind of raps like that. So it's more simple.
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about what your values were in terms of rap music in the very early days of Wu-Tang and everything, like exactly how you perceived how important it was to be vicious on the mic, because you guys all rapped like you were out for fucking,
yeah,
like
it was
your last, like this depended, your entire future depended on these verses.
Oh,
That's why the albums were incredible.
Yeah, you had to. And then being in a group where it's, everybody is nice, is competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's almost putting us in there. You ever saw like the Royal Rumble?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was almost all the time like that, because you know the powers of this guy. Then you know the powers of this guy. Then you know the powers of that guy. So when everybody's in the studio, it's like, damn, how the fuck am I? You know, like me, I take a while to write. You know what I mean? So a lot of brothers is faster than me. You know what I mean? I guess it depends on the time, but I always like take my time to do shit. So, but being there amongst Meth and Ray and Deck and RZA and the Genius, it's like, yo, you gotta make sure you really get this right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and that's what it was. It was almost like a battle royal in there, like going on with like silent, like a friendly game of stickball or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you just had to come out. You just had to come out how you came out.
Those early studio sessions, where were you actually recording during like the 36 Chambers recording time?
We was doing it in the house.
Okay.
We did it in the house, and then we went to I think Firehouse Studios. I think that might be, what's that, in Brooklyn or Manhattan or something like that. We wound up in Hit Factory a couple of days, whatever the case may be. And things in that nature, but those were the main. Firehouse was like the main. I remember, I could see it vividly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The main spot that we was in there for a long time, like doing Meth album too. Because I remember doing Meth versus Chef and Protect Your Neck. You know what I mean? And a few things.
In terms of that time period, though, it must have been insane, just the level of competition, because you got like nine or more guys who probably all want to get on every track if possible, and everybody's just going crazy, because obviously the average song going to have two, three, four people.
That's right.
So do you feel like that was like a huge factor in terms of just how competitive it really got and why those records are just remembered so fondly?
Yeah, it was like, if you wasn't there to get on, oh, you missed it.
Yeah.
You missed it. It's almost like, yo, it's almost like your mother cooking for you, but it's like, yo, if you ain't in there because you got a house full of people and you ain't there to get your plate, oh, you ain't going to eat that night. You know what I mean? And that's what it was. It was like, because I would come back in and hear shit like, oh, shit. When y'all do that? Well, that's last night. And it'd be something that I know I wanted to be on. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Like, and then Ray just murdered it, or whatever the case may be. Like, damn, man, but I missed that joint. You know what I mean? So it was many nights like that. Many nights. But trying to fit in on the Wu album, in the process of making that, yeah, you just had to be able to. And if you couldn't really catch the beat at that time, you couldn't catch it, then you wouldn't be on it.
Mm-hmm. Just super competitive.
Yeah, you wouldn't be in it because it's like, damn, and you might not have wanted to be on it. You might have wanted to be on it, but after hearing what they did and the thing that you got, you might as well just bow out.
Mm-hmm. But you know what's crazy?
And tap out.
I feel like that level of competition in terms of being able to quickly put songs together is sort of like, okay, when we talk about like the Atlanta style recording process, when you think of like what, you know, Gucci Mane sort of like brought to the game, where he was going in and freestyling shit over and over. When I've talked to people who be in the studio with him, they'll be like, bro, like it's just the most insane competitive vibe. And that's why none of these people will write, because it's so much pressure to get in there and knock your verse out in 20 minutes that it kind of just made the whole writing thing go away. And that's kind of interesting thinking about all you guys together, because you guys are probably all in the opposite direction of like, no, I'm going to write and really fine tune this fucking verse, because right, that's my only way that I'm going to have a chance of getting on the song.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Yeah. Because you're dealing with dot masters. Mm-hmm. Once you're dealing with like brothers that's focused and with a highly a conscious, a level of consciousness and know how to, their wordsmiths, now to put their words together, it's like, yo, if you can't deal with a genius and meet them requirements up there, it's like, yo, you feel like you're illiterate. You know what I mean? Because genius is really a genius. Mm-hmm. Like, he to me, that's like my best rapper. You know what I mean? And the way he writes, even to this day, it's like you're reading the New York Times or something, like the Wall Street Journal or something like that, because the words he used, mm-hmm, and how he paints those pictures, it's like, damn, you could still do that like that? And it seems like you get even doper from the stuff that you're saying. It's like, yo, and that's what inspires me. Right now, the game is like, it's not inspiring. Mm-hmm. Like when we had Nas and Biggie,
right,
and oof, all that like that, it was like, yo, I couldn't wait to oh, word, you heard that new Nas? What? And I'm listening. Then it make you want to go right, because it was like competition and make you want to go right. Now, it don't even matter if you really right or not, but I still got my pride and my dignity to be like, I don't want niggas to, excuse me, I don't want people to be saying like, oh, he fell off or you know what I mean, like he's not with you, but it's because I am. I'm trying to match this and match that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like last night, all right, I didn't go too light on him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's like I didn't take 4 hours writing the rhyme either. You right, know what I mean? But I know when it starts to come to my own stuff, for the people that know me, for how they know me, I gotta do what I do. Mm-hmm. Like that.
One of the things that I thought was really cool seeing in the studio last night too is just how much fun you were having with words in general. Like you were just straight up talking to your homie, talking to your manager, yeah, be like, yo, I'm gonna say Liu Kang. Yeah. What rhymes with Liu Kang? And you just were like having fun with it, just like everybody tossing out ideas and shit. And like right, your homie was just like sort of coming up with different flows, and he was just having fun with the beat, even though he wasn't on the beat. Right. And that's like something that I think has kind of been lost with a lot of these rappers, in the sense that they aren't really trying to challenge themselves to the same way that you are.
Right. You know, once you in there, man, it's like you're in, you know? So it's like I like to get ahead and, you know, because I'm trying to finish the rhyme. So it's like, yo, if I got a word that I don't see too many words, it's like, yo, because there is words that rhyme with other words. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you just, your mans is there, they there. So, you know, like, yo, I would have asked you, like, yo, what rhymes with, whatchamacallit, mm-hmm, the Liu Kang, or whatever the case may be. You could have been coming up like butane and this one and that, you know what I mean? Whatever. So now it was up to me to get ahead and find out what I want to take and now how I want to put it together. Mm. You know what I mean? But just to finish off those last two lines so I could just finish with the rhyme. You know what I mean?
Your homie came into the room while we were smoking and goes, yo, some fucked up shit goes on in Romania, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, all right, cool. Like, yeah, he was checking for me.
Because I told him, I said, yo, I'm going to say this rhyme, I'm going to say this right here. Like, boom, or something, whatever I said on the track, but about the Romania. Mm. Like, boom, because, you know, it was Armenia, Romania, and all this other stuff like that. So he just ran to the back. I didn't even know he did that. Yeah, and was like, yeah, because I know Romania get busy too.
Oh, yeah.
So he went back there, was like, yeah, he came back. Yeah, they said they get busy in Romania. I was like, yeah, I know. That's right, yeah.
If you get your credit card information stolen or some shit, it's probably by some guy in Romania on his computer.
Right. Oh, like that.
I think that's what they'd be doing out there. They're hacking and shit.
Yeah. And I like Romania. I think I might have been there one time.
Probably.
With the Wudo.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. I've been to Slovenia and all that stuff like that. That's why I don't smoke no more.
For real?
Yeah.
That's why you fell back, because you thought you were losing your short-term memory?
Nah, not even because I thought that. It's like I'd be writing and then all of a sudden, right before I get ready to write it down, just say something just threw me off guard or something real quick. And then I try to go, I lost the line.
Mm-hmm.
And it was continuously like, yo, then I'm trying to smoke to try to get that line back or whatever, and it will never come back. You know what I mean? But I'm busy trying to burn to be like, all right, to try to get back in the zone. And it just be like, yo, and it continuously happens. So it was like, yo, then it took me a long time. It took me a long time to finish this one, the Pretty Tony album.
Mm.
A long time.
Oh, man, I listened to that in the gym today.
It took me like 18 months.
Really?
And Def Jam was mad as a motherfucker. So I'm like, yo, you know what? I took it on to myself, like, call it quits. That's it. No more. I don't need it no more. You know what I mean? I'm wasting so much money in the studio, $2,500 a day just for the big room. You know what I mean? And I couldn't get it done. I'm doing 100 takes, second-guessing myself. And they're like, you got it. But I'm like, yo, I'm not too sure in my mind. You know what I mean? So I didn't like that. So I was like, yo, you know what? Chilled, and I heard somebody say, yo, it takes 7.5 years just to get your brain cells back.
After smoking for a long time?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, just to let them grow back.
Really?
You know what I mean? So I'm like, damn. You know what I mean? So, you know, I was kind of nervous, though, just to be like, so what am I going to do now?
Right.
So I'm thinking to myself, my mind, like, I need that, like, it depends on that. When it's like, I don't need it.
You start to, like, a lot of young kids, I see it, where they start getting money, and all of a sudden they think that they need to smoke this absurd amount of weed every time they're in the studio.
Yeah.
Never mind getting into the lean and the pills and all this other shit. They start to try to figure out a way to not be themselves in the studio.
Right.
And a lot of times it just fizzles out fairly quickly.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's what it, but now to each his own.
Yeah.
Because meth will sit there and smoke a fucking pound of weed and sit there and get his lines out or whatever, and they come out crispy. You know what I mean? Me, man, I'm leaving the session.
Yeah.
I'm gonna leave that shit, and I'll see y'all tomorrow, B. You know what I mean? Or whatever the case may be. But, I can't indulge in that like that no more.
When you were young, you first started coming out, though. You were partying pretty hard at that point in your life, right?
Oh, smoking dust. You were doing everything. Acid, mescalines. You know what I mean? You know, just because you're young.
Right.
You're young, especially back at my time. You know what I mean? Like in the 80s and late 80s and 89, 90 and all that stuff like that. So it's like, it's right there for you. It's there, but we're not doing what these kids do today. Like, they OD'ing.
Mm.
You know, we if we pop a mescaline, we just pop the mescaline, boom, and we gonna laugh the whole night. You know what I mean? Dying laughing. We did this, we did that, you know what I mean? But we didn't really, like, you know, get lost in it.
When you look at your young homies, like people that are around and stuff, and you see them going too hard with the drugs and stuff, how does that make you feel? Because on one hand, you've been there, you know what it's like to be young and to want to experiment, but at the same time, you've seen enough of the long-term pattern to be like, nah, like, that's not it.
Right, yeah, man. It's like the guys that I grew up with, you know what I mean? They're not young no more, but when I see kids that's just on it like that and they thinking it's cool, you, of course, because I'm spiritual, so I look at them like damn, like the youth, it's like it's totally the opposite from where I came from. Like, they're like you said, the lean, and if there's no lean, so, you know, some of them is doing dope and, you know, straight heroin. You know what I mean? If they can't get the pills and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So it's rougher. Then it's more deaths that's happening.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it is, bugged out. Like it's sad, basically. It's sad, you know what I mean? So, especially, like, if you go to Staten Island, I think they got, like, the most
opioids?
Yeah.
Addiction, the Xans and heroin and all that shit.
Deaths. They got the most deaths just based off of that, I think, in the country. You know, it's either the world or the country. You know what I mean? I seen it on National Geographic Channel. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Staten Island on there like that. Like, God damn, I ain't know that it's killing motherfuckers. And it's like, the areas where they at is good areas. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell?
You know I think a lot of times it's the fact that these, like, rich kids or kids who've, you know, grown up fairly well, which at this point, even if you're in Staten Island, like, you know, a lot of kids who grow up in New York, they grow up with money because you have to have a lot of money for your parents to even fucking live there.
Right.
By the way, sorry, my cat's walking around down there, just in case you feel anything on your leg or anything.
Huh?
You a fan of cats?
Hell no.
Okay, well, we'll try to keep him at bay. Yeah, yeah. I've learned that from having
this. That's a big one, too.
Yeah, he's actually from Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah? He's from New York.
I flew him out with me when I moved in.
He might be cool a little bit, you know what I'm saying?
He was homeless for 3 years, so he's definitely seen some shit.
Right. He look like he's chilling, though.
Yeah.
He look like he's chilling.
But those kids, you know, I think a lot of times they feel the need to add some kind of drama to their life because they don't necessarily have anything to struggle against. So it's like when they, you know, like Xanax or whatever, it's a drug of wanting to just feel nothing, to just, you know, like sit back and you just melt and you just don't accomplish anything. It's really when you're young in particular, that's the last kind of drug that you should be doing. I'd rather see a kid doing coke or something, go get something done maybe.
Right, no, you're right. And I was just talking to somebody about that. I think too, like coming up, you know, we were still getting a little bit chastised, you know what I mean? Like put in your place. Parents put you in your place.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, it's none of that. And then, like you said, especially when you got money and you don't get put in your place, it just leaves room for you to do anything. Like, cause it's like, yo, that you can do what you want to do. You got money. You know what I mean? Like, yo, your parents is like this, and you got your own room, and you know what I mean? So it just leaves room for somebody to come to you like, yo, even your first cigarette or your first joint. You know what I mean? So when it comes to the pills, it's like, yo, nah, bro, just it's nothing. It's not. They might thinking it's not like it's nothing gonna happen, but then after a while, you become addicted to it, and then you wind up ODing on it.
Yeah,
you know, it's hard to shake it. Cause I was watching the thing. It was hard for them to shake it to get off it. Mm-hmm. And Money was trying to, but he just needed to. He'd go in his room and he start shooting. You know what I mean? And his family, you know, they were scared for him. But it's like, yo, man, that's just the life we living in right now.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy, too, to think about. Like, when you're talking about GZA, and, like, you're really making me think about how at the time, I think a big part of what Wu-Tang brought when you guys came out was that you made it seem cool to be educated and curious about the world around you, because you guys were coming with a reference base to a lot of shit that the average person in New York didn't know about, and it seemed cool, which is very rare. Usually, you know, like, like knowing about all these things that theoretically should be considered nerdy, kung fu movies, all this shit, like just having access to a lot more information. You guys painted being intelligent in a different light, which is, like, in my opinion, a big contribution to the culture,
respect,
you know?
Yeah, respect. Yo, them brothers is wise, man. It's like I learned a lot from them. I learned a lot from them. And like RZA is like a doctor. He was like a doctor. Like I seen them like studying slides under microscopes. You know what I mean? In the house, like, just I'm like, wow. He went out and bought a microscope, like, you know what I mean? and had the little slides up under there, and he just looking, like, but he know what he's looking at, and he understand the terms and things of that nature of like the words and everything like that or whatever. So I'm like, damn, like. It was just crazy to be surrounded by so much information. You know what I mean? Because I could ask a question, and it's like they could answer that shit and then break it down for you. Like, it was times I used to get high, and it was like to the maximum where it was like, yo, damn, I'm too high where it seemed like I'm bugging. And then here come, I'll tell them, like, yo, I just feel like I'm bugging right now. Like, yo, here fuck around and talk to me and just, all right. He talked to me where the weed's hitting, what part of the brain is hitting, this and that and the third. Like, break down the brain on you. And then all of a sudden, I'm sober again. Like, but I'm glad, though. Like, yo, you know what I mean? Because I'm zoned into what he's saying. And he'd just break it down like, yo, and then it's like, oh, shit. All right, boom. So he did it a couple of times. You know what I mean? I ran to him and felt like I was really, really like, damn, off the Richter. You know what I mean? So, yeah, B, but it was amazing being surrounded by so much energy and intelligent, just the intelligence of these brothers, man.
What do you think could have become of your career if it wasn't for RZA and it wasn't for the Wu-Tang Clan? Because it's kind of crazy to think about Ghostface, the solo artist, like if you had started out like that.
I really don't know. You know what I mean? The Most High knows all that. But the direction I was going in, mm-hmm. It wasn't good. It wasn't good because I was too much doing a lot of street shit. Mm. You know what I mean? So maybe I wouldn't have took it that serious. And you know, maybe I probably, and if I did with it, try to get on or got on or whatever, maybe might not have made an impact. Like how the Klan, how the Klan was when we came, it's like boom, you know what I mean? Maybe you might have heard of me, but not like that. And just been our dude that came out 25 years ago. That's like, yo, you just never know. Mm. But I had a lot of things around me that's just dealing with the streets. You know what I'm saying? That I was in the streets too much and shit like that. Though, at the same time, when I first came out with Wu, it was like, yo, I was still doing shit I shouldn't have been doing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Selling drugs and all this other shit, getting in trouble, you know what I'm saying? So.
But when do you think of when you really changed your life? Because I'm assuming that you didn't just get signed and then all of a sudden all that shit was out of your life, right?
Nah, yo, I changed my life. I changed my life maybe like when we came on in 92, 93. I started changing maybe like in 96, 97.
Really?
96.
In terms of partying less and...
Yeah, because it was that. And then it's funny because the Most High, he, my best friends that I always was doing shit with, they all caught 25 years and shit. You know what I mean? And things of that nature. So it was like he broke us up for a minute.
Right.
You know what I mean? And brothers are just coming home right now, like. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that must be crazy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but I was right with them. Like, I got a couple of charges where it was like, yo, okay, if I go to trial, it was more easy for me to blow. So my man was, my co-defender was with me. So he's like, yo, you know what? I got the 25. Just give me that. And I run a concurrent with my shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because me and him had the same charge that we was going to court for. But he's like, nah, I don't want you to you stay out there.
Right.
And I'll put that on my shit and run it concurrent with my shit, but I still be getting the 25, so he ain't getting like more time added on. You know what I mean? So it was like that, though. You know what I mean?
What's
so,
it like seeing those guys after 20 plus years now?
Oh, one of them, the one that took the charge like that, he should be home any minute now. You know, hopefully within this year right here. But my other friend, you know, he just did like what, like 17, 18. He did 17, 18. Those were the ones I was with all the time. And that's how I know that everything happens for a reason. And they know that, too, because the route that we was on, either we would have went to jail for real for doing some other shit the way we was thinking back then, mm-hmm. or we would have been dead somewhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? Shit like that. That's how I was going.
It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's been unbelievable to see, like, just how long your career managed to stay relevant. Like, I remember, like, a really amazing era when we talk about the Theodore Unit album. We talk about the Pretty Tony album and shit. Mm-hmm. It's like... Early 2000s, mid 2000s, there was a second Ghostface run that like came after the Supreme Clientele wave and everything, where you managed to figure out how to appeal to, in a lot of ways, like the first like hipster wave of rap fans, where it was like you became that go-to New York rapper that was funny enough. I feel like Cam'ron kind of came at the same similar time and got love for a similar reason, because you guys were so inventive and playful lyrically.
Right.
And it was like a whole nother era of Ghostface around that era.
Right, yeah, you're right. You're right. Shout out to Cam'ron and shit. It's my man right there and shit. Yeah, man. I think that might have been around what, Supreme Clientele?
No, but I'm talking about more like Pretty Tony album and the Fish Scale album and all that.
Pretty Tony album.
During that mid 2000s run.
Okay, yeah.
You kind of managed to reinvent yourself in a crazy ass way.
Right. I don't know what I don't know what it was though, but I know I gained like a lot of more like a, like you said, the hipsters and the knapsackers and all that stuff like that or whatever. I think this is what I think. I think when I did Nutmeg on Supreme Clientele, and people couldn't really decipher what I was saying on that, on them verses like that, and I did like a couple of more tracks like that or whatever, because when I bumped into Doom, Doom was like, yo, man, I got my shit from you, like that, like from the mass and to the abstract style like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, boom, you know what I mean? So he really confirmed it, like, yo, I mean, I thought about, like, hold on, like, because Doom got this shit where he be saying shit out of this world too. You know what I mean? But that was just a style for me. Because one time I went to Africa and I'm like, yo, let me just see a style I can make up real quick. You know what I mean? Like, boom. So, you know, without no music or nothing, it just was all in, I just was writing it down because it was like, okay, let me just say a style that sound fat, that might not mean nothing at all. You know what I mean? That's why scientific, my hand kiss it, robotic, listic, optimistic, probably mystic, watch me dolly dick it. You know what I mean? So it was like a bunch of words like that. And people were trying to be like, yo, what the fuck do he mean?
Right.
Really, it's only a couple of lines in there that might mean something, but the rest was just wordplay.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And then I think it started to drift off, you know, and then I don't know, for some reason it was like I was just catching a lot of like feedback, you know what I mean, from like the knapsackers and this and that and the third, and they was just like, they was in my corner. They was in my corner at that time and stuff like that. Like, and it was all good, you know what I mean? So by the time I got to like Fish Scale and Pretty Tony and Fish Scale and shit like that, it was like, all right, yo, you know, and that was just that era of that, you know what I mean? Now, what slowed me down was like being on Def Jam. It hurt me. You know what I mean? Because I went to Def Jam because at that time when I went there, remember, they had the Yankees. You know what I mean? They Meth, Red, Nori, Jay-Z, DMX, Foxy, EPMD, LL Cool J, DMX. It was like, it was so much. I wanted to be a part of that because they was winning.
And Supreme Clientele was on what label?
Sony.
Right. Okay. So you left there and went straight to Def Jam.
Yeah, because when I got to Bulletproof Wallace, you know what I mean? We had like Razor Sharp that was on Sony at that time. I was signed to Razor Sharp. You know what I mean? It was a few little misunderstandings in there like that where it was like, yo, you know, and I had to make a decision. You know what I'm saying? But Def Jam, when I got there, the one that signed me, Leo, he's out the door. You know what I mean? So now it just leaves me there like, yo, and nobody that really didn't care about me. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. So I was there for like a good, like maybe 4 or 5 years. And it messed me up, bro. It messed me up.
Damn, that's crazy. So when you look back on your career, though, does something like that stand out to you as like a regret? Would you even describe it as a regret?
I mean, I wanted to go there. And I know everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. And I wouldn't say it was a regret because I wanted to go. And even when Jay-Z came, I'm like, yo, listen, we here. I said, you my boss now, B. I said, yo, he didn't want to hear that like that. I'm like, but you, if I got to go to you to get it, somebody to sign off, to sign my check or something, it's like, yo, you my boss. You know what I mean? So listen, man. Let's do what we gotta do. But I guess he was going through so much stuff up there. I guess being in the position he was in and having to deal with so many artists, because I don't know what it is to sit in that one chair and then have like 40 artists under your belt. You know what I mean? So I was thinking that he was the only one that could identify with me to get me to where I need to be. You know what I mean?
Because you look at Jay-Z, like, he's a great lyricist. He's somebody who should appreciate your craft and who should want to, like, go out of his way to make sure that shit's happening on your behalf. But in business, it could be a lot more complicated, right?
Yeah, and not being selfish, I just thought that we might could have a understanding. Like, he might know because look at him. You know what I mean? Like, yo, we right there. Like, in as far as, like, you know, all right, yeah, he moved all the way up to wherever he moved up. But, you know, we came in, like, not the same time. I came in before him, but he was there doing Hawaii Sophie and all that stuff like that, though. But as far as, like, when he started getting known, you know what I mean? It was like, yo, I was already there already. So I'm thinking, like, okay, maybe we could just have a understanding, you know what I mean? And the understanding was, you know, that for me, it was like, yo, maybe Hov got too many, you know, the Neos and everything, you know, that he got to look after like that and shit. And he wound up leaving. And then I think L.A. Reid came in, you know what I mean, or whatever. It was one of those. I don't know who came in first, but it was like that. And it was just like, yo, you know what, man? You know, and that's when I came with my R&B album. I said, yo, you know what? I'm just going to do a song with just all singles on it, like something that I wanted to do. This the R&B album is my best album to me. Wizard of, that goes deep, right. Wizard of Poetry.
You say it's your best album. That's really interesting because I believe that you, like, during that time period, I was astounded by how well you were able to transition into that.
Right. I always wanted to do that. I always wanted to paint pictures. You know what I mean? And it gave me a chance to paint pictures, to work with artists and stuff like that, and it gets to get my word out, to get my point across. So it was a challenge for me, you know what I mean, to get up there and to be like, okay, you know what, Ghost, just tell this story right here. To tell us right here over this beautiful track, and I could just tell it. I could sit there and write. Like, I'm a fan of R. Kelly, right? And the way he would tell a story is the way that I would tell my, you know what I mean, stories like that, like in rap, you know what I mean? So I could identify with him, and that's all I wanted to do. And when I finished with that album, it was like, okay, cool. I did my dream album already, so whatever. But it was a lot of singles up there, and Def Jam may not work, like not one of them like that.
Do you feel
that's
like,
what hurt me.
Was there a part of you that wanted to continue to pursue that style further, or that was...
Oh, of course, but I still had to, like, I did that and had to go into, like, other worlds, you know. I think I don't know if it was the Big Doe Rehab or one of them, another album had came after that or something like that. I don't know which one it was, though, but I find myself more comfortable in those, like, in situations like that, with dealing with that album. So I'm a... like, as like right now, the next album I'm doing right now is almost like in one of those chambers like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but I'm only gonna give me like a few more, one or two more maybe street albums, and then I might just go, you know what I mean, with albums that mean something. Whether it's love, whether it's talking about the Most High, and stuff like that. But if you want me to do something, and you want me to just put the ghost face on it and do whatever, I'll do it all like that. But I don't really want to, like, as far as me, I just want to get ahead and just capture a whole new whatchamacallit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because you're in your early 20s and you're rapping, and it's like there's a certain level of aggression and being boisterous and cocky and funny and stuff like that. Is there a part of you that, as you get older, that seems to be a less appealing pose to take, whereas when you talk about doing the R&B album and stuff, it's like that is a more timeless style that you could maybe transition to over time. Does that occur to you that maybe when I'm 55, that motherfuckers ain't gonna want to hear me talking about having a gun?
We talk about it all the time. That's why I say rap is infinite. You know what I mean? Knowledge is infinite. You know what I mean? So you could talk about whatever you want to talk about. You know what I mean? Me, I was just blessed. With the mind to get ahead and paint any picture that I want to paint. Like, these kids nowadays can't do that. They got four things to talk about. Like, they money, they bitches, excuse my, like, women, whatever the case may be, they cars and jury. You know, maybe some drugs here and there. You know what I mean? And that's it. That's the limitation. You know what I mean? But me, I could sit here and talk about with him sitting there and him sitting there, camera there, two mics in our face and me and you right here. You know what I mean? Easy. You know what I mean? Just give me some time. I'll get it done.
You could talk about it. Yeah. You could probably make it sound like some sort of sinister, like, mob meeting.
I'll make it seem like it was a Scorsese film.
Right.
By the time you listen to it and you could see it.
I mean, you got Gustavo right there. That's a good multi-syllabic bar right there. Gustavo. You could rhyme a whole bunch of weird shit with that.
Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, but it'll be like, yo, from the time I walked in to all that. To the time he gave me the hood to put on and the cameras, this and that and the thing and my drink. I know how to get very detailed in it. And I think that's where a lot of my fans, you know what I mean, they identify with. You know what I mean? Because they like, yo, you know, they look at me as like a, sometimes like a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or whatever the case may be.
You've been like called, I was looking at Wikipedia last night, you've been called like the greatest storytelling rapper of all time by like multiple publications and shit like that.
Right. You know,
how's that feel?
I mean, I don't really look at it like that. Mm-hmm. I don't ever, maybe when it's all said and done and I could look at it like, damn, I did that. I don't really see it like right now. I'm just living it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When you're away from it, then you really could look like right now, Kobe away from the game, like he might could just look like, damn, when they talk about his stats,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And really get to like I'll tell a crew all the time, I say, yo, listen, man, we one of the illest groups of all time. And it's hard for 9 guys to stick together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like you might, when I go to Europe and I see a bunch of tattoos on people and I'm like, damn, he's dying with that. He gonna die with that.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, she gonna die with that. Like, she gonna get buried with that. Like, she's taking that to the grave.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, I gotta give the most things I could give to you just to go ahead and put that flag, that bird on you like that. Like, it means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, but you don't know the bigness of it. You know what I mean? And maybe until when it's over with. But yo, listen, I'm trying to recognize it now.
Mm.
And grasp it and do what we gotta do with it. Like, I don't wanna be the ones to be like, yo, I wish we'd have did that. I wish I would've known that. I wanna know now to try to catch whatever, because 25 years had went past already. We don't got that much longer to be doing what we do, even though I love it. And I'd be like, if God spare me, even in my 70s, I might not be touring, but I know I'm going to still write a 70-year-old rhyme because I want to write a 70-year-old rhyme.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure there's still a lot of people that would want to fuck with. Yeah. I'd be fascinated to see what a 70-year-old Ghostface bar is like.
Yeah. Long as my mind is intact, I think I could still get it.
Have you gone through phases where you were like, fuck rapping, I'm just not motivated to do this shit?
Yeah, I mean, I always love it, but it just be like, I don't got to rush for it. It's like, I don't hear, like I said, it's no inspiration. I like to be inspired. I like for somebody to say something, damn, he murdered that, and make me want to get ahead and go do that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But when there's nothing going on, and you hearing the same regular raps, the same gun talk, or the same this, it's like, what moves you? Like, what's going to, you know, it's not make me want to go to the booth or to go grab something. And the beats ain't even the same no more.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's a lot of trap beats and stuff like that or whatever. But remember, when we was coming up, like when Nas...
All samples. Crazy yeah, soul crazy, samples yeah. and shit.
And it was fat when Nas came with the Illmatic and Biggie and even the Mobb Deep beats.
Yeah.
It was like they was chunky.
Kids can still make beats like that, but they know they're going to be handing over a big percentage of the money, so they don't even think in that direction. Right.
I love that direction, like, you know what I mean? So it's like, now what? Then, like, we was in the studio the other day. We going through, like, on the flash drive, the kids sending me, you know, you got people giving you, like, 40 beats with nothing on there. But no. You got to go through the 40 beats.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just to see if you can find one in that 40. You know what I mean? And I did that many times with CDs.
Mm-hmm.
They give me CDs when CDs was, like, the thing that I put the CD in, yo, Bulletproof Wallets and Pretty Tony and all that, like just going through shit like that, just going through it, okay, all right, that's the one.
Mm. In those early days though, when RZA was kind of like assigning the beats or whatever, would it be much more of a thought out process where it was a beat that he had worked on for a significant period of time and he was like, this is the one? Because nowadays it's more like, yeah, here's a tape of 40 beats, motherfuckers go in the studio, that they'll do 5-6 songs in a night, just, you know, pick up the first thing that comes to mind in terms of when they hear that beat.
Right.
It was the opposite back in the day.
When RZA would pick it, when RZA would do it, at one time, whatever RZA played was just Illmatic.
Right.
It was just like, yo, it was like, oh shit, like, yo, all right, boom. You know what I mean? But when you're doing your solo thing, it was like he'd sit you in a room. I mean, you'd be in a room or whatever studio, and you just be going through beats, and you'll pick, you know, like when I did my first album, and I caught, when I did All I Got Is You, I was like, hold, stop right there. And it was just a sample, boom. Mm. And it just caught me. I'm like, yo, I'll need that right there. Put that in the bag, right there. All right, go ahead, boom. Then he come Iron Maiden or something like that or whatever, Wildflower. It was like, yo, and that's what it was. I didn't go to nobody, I didn't know nobody else to get beats from. I just knew that this guy had a box, a yellow box with mad beats in there. Mad beats. And he had beats in them things for days. I even came back years later and got Run out of there. You know what I mean? So it was like, oh, okay.
Oh, Run came from that too. That was a fucking moment.
Yeah, it came from out that box, that yellow box. That's what I always said. Then even Busta Rhymes, he got on his album now, he got, I think, a record or two from RZA. And he had sent me one a while ago to write to it. I said, yo, where the fuck you get that? I said, you got that yellow box? He started laughing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that yellow box. You know, Busta, he crazy with it and shit. Now it's the same yellow box. You know what I mean? So it's like, damn. You know what I mean? So, yeah, so, you know, you would get to pick your thing. But Riz, back then, his ear was so, like, I don't know, just in tune with, he'd take the sample. And he wasn't just taking the sample. He was playing with it. And I think that's where a lot of other producers, which because he told me, he said, yo, nah, I played it. I would take it, cut it. And I don't even know what I'm talking about right now. I'll take it, I'll cut it, I'll play it backwards. And then, you know, whatever else he do like that or whatever, it's producer talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm just amazed by like, holy shit. Yeah? And it come out fat.
Mm.
Like, yo, and he had that sound. He had that sound. So, and that's why I think a lot of people, you know, they respect him. Respect his gun.
How do you feel about the phenomenon of, like, the Wu-Tang logo? Like, the fact that it's common for a kid to go to a store in the mall and buy a Wu-Tang shirt, not even know who Wu-Tang is. They do it with rock bands. They do it with Nirvana and Metallica and all this shit.
Right.
But is that a crazy thing for you to observe, like, knowing that these kids don't know that to them is just a cool logo, the same way they would wear a Coca-Cola shirt or some shit?
You know what? Wu-Tang's forever, man.
Them checks is forever,
I see,
too.
I see, like, the kids getting more smaller, and I see them in the front row right there. Like, and I see them, like, if their parents, like, if they was born into it, like little 8-year-olds, 7-year-olds, and they right there in the front, in a big festival, but right there in the front. And it hits me, and I'll tap Ray and want somebody. I'll be like, yo, look, like, boom. I'll be like, yo, get him on stage, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's too little to be sitting right there like that. They bring the kids up on the stage and stuff like that, and just let them enjoy themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, but it always be like, that's what makes me know that it's forever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's like a whole new wave. Like, yo, boom. That's why it's very important with this album here. To get it out to the masses in the still mess with the youth. Because remember in the Bible, they say the meek shall inherit.
Mm-hmm.
So right now with the younger generation, it's like, yo, this is their world now. Like nobody couldn't tell me at 18 to don't listen to Rakim.
Mm-hmm.
Know what I mean? KRS-One, Big Daddy Kane. That's my hip hop. You know what I mean? So for the same thing for these little kids, it's like when they look at Yachty and Kodak Black and all these Migos, and this is the hip hop,
mm-hmm.
like that or whatever the case may be. But and that's why it's always good to get ahead and still like, no, you can't, just because they might not be the sound that you like. It, no matter how you put it, it's still music,
mm-hmm.
whether you like it or not. It's like it's music, like classical. No, I don't listen to classical, I dig it though. But I don't sit up there and be like, yo, put that classical joint on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But like. I'm in a hotel right now. It's like, it stays on classical. Cause mm-hmm. that's what it was when I walked in the room. I just turn it down. When the housekeeper come and they turn it up and it just leaves it there, cause that's what they supposed to do. But it's like, it don't bother me, but I heard some fat shit on classical the other night. You know what I mean? Like, oh shit, I just wanted to know, like, yo, who the hell was that?
Right.
What beat was that? Like, you know what I mean? Crazy.
You're at the point in your life where you can just appreciate good art in general and be curious exactly. about it, you know?
Exactly, exactly. You know what I mean? Like Marvin Gaye was kind of like shook when he did what's that? Let's make love tonight. Wake up. What's that? Sexual healing.
Right.
It was sexual healing. He didn't know all that stuff he done did. It was a new generation, a new time zone for him. Like, you know what I mean? It was more like disco. Mm-hmm. He didn't know how he was getting ready to come in. So it was almost like trap. Like, you don't know how the fuck you gonna be a pre-child, how they gonna take it. And then when he played it for his family and them, and I heard they just like, yo, that shit is crazy. And he put it out. Yo, it was like one of his biggest joints.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like that. It's like nothing never stays the same. And that's what I had to learn to deal with. Like the shit that we came in with, Biggie and Nas and all that boom bap music and whatever, it was like for a certain amount, it was like it moved into something else now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
But you seen
and
that,
it's 25 years later.
Right. But you've seen that happen so many times. Like Wu-Tang was one of the first rap groups I was interested in, 94, 95. But then even by 97, 98, you had Puff coming out with all the samples from all the pop songs and doing all this shit with Biggie and stuff. Like, that was the first time that I saw the reaction from diehard rap fans. And it was largely, like, the types of people who were probably huge Wu-Tang fans. They started to break rap up into two different sections. You got Wu-Tang, which stand for, like, real hip-hop, and then you got what Puffy was doing at the time.
Right.
And, like, but then even a few years removed from that, like, if you were to ask the average rap fan, I think even by, like, 2001, 2002, what do you think of Mo' Money, Mo' Problems? It was like, nah, that's just hard. That was the late 90s.
Right.
But in the time, you can feel that division.
Right.
But then, like, even a few years removed, like, me being 34 and still interested in rap, it's like I've seen these patterns unfold so many times that I can't be frustrated by it or be that angry about it. You just have to want to, if you love rap, you really can like sit back and look at it and observe and appreciate the things that are happening, even if it is sometimes in contrast to the morals that you grew up with in terms of what is important in the art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Because I remember that little period of that time right there when that
Chinese suit era.
Yep, the Chinese suit era, yep. Mason, all of them like that, or whatever the case may be. That might have been, what, 97?
Mm-hmm.
When it started to change a little bit.
And they kind of had a little bit more of a commercial vibe going, yeah, and Puffy started realizing, like, oh, if I use these old samples and shit, or not old samples, but sort of remake, like, big pop hits and shit.
Right, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I forgot that joint. Because he sampled...
Can't Stop, Won't Stop.
Yeah. He sampled the Furious Five, right?
Right.
One of those shits like that, yep, exactly, yep. But it started to change a little something. And, you know, I was just in the mix, but that's what it was becoming. But me, at that time, I still stayed to my roots because I dropped Supreme when? I dropped Supreme in like 2000, 2001. Well, that was like in 97.
Mm-hmm.
But that was all I knew. It was like, yo. And I remember somebody was telling me, like, Devon, his brother had the CD and playing it. And then Jay was like, he said Jay came up on his whip like, yo, what's that right there? Like, yo. And whatchamacallit? And that's how, then after I did that, Jay came with the blueprint.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it was like, he had the samples. He had the same sample, like he had samples in there and shit. Like, so I'm like, okay, so they're gonna give me 4.5 mics in the sauce, but give him 5. You know what I mean? Against the blueprint. You know what I mean? So I'm like, hold on, B, but you know what? It was all good. Cause in my career, yo, even with the names of my albums, you got people naming their stores. Like Blue and Cream. I was on Raekwon album talking about the Wallabies, Blue and Cream.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You got Mighty Healthy. You got Supreme Clientele. You got Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just period. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, just for to be recognized in that light, even though if I had, you know, not saying nothing to do with it, because I was the spark for that fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But not to be invested into it, and that it was like, yo, it's a blessing, yo, because I know where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I came from a like I said, 15 of us in a 3-bedroom apartment, roaches everywhere, cousins and aunts was there. You know what I mean? 4 at the bed, 2 at the foot, 2 at the head. Didn't like to sleep with my other cousin. He peed the bed, yo. You know what I mean? So it's like to do that and have two brothers with muscular dystrophy, you know what I mean? And your mother, she's drinking, you know what I mean? Your real father's not there in the household, and to be getting locked up, to be doing all this, to be that diamond that was in that rough, but not knowing at that time, you know what I mean? It's like, yo, I'm grateful for every ups and downs that God had given to me. You know what I mean? Because you have to go through hell to come out right.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go. I don't care who you are. You got to go. Even when you're being born, it's like for your mother to push you out, she's going through hell just for you to come out right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And people don't understand that.
You think all the shit you've been through is the reason why you're able to have the perspective that has kept you connected enough and level-headed enough to still be in the position you're in 25 years later?
I never let none of this take over me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a regular person. When people be like, oh, I thought you was going to be like, it's like, nah, why would you think that? It's like, we're all people. Man, I know a lot of rappers be fronting, and they don't got to be, they don't have to. You know what I mean? Just because they're in a position, you know what I mean? I hear about rappers all the time. Oh, y'all, this and that, want to be bossy and this and that. And it's, man, sit the fuck down, bro. You know what I mean? It ain't even all about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Sign an autograph for the little kid or whoever it was and take the picture and that's it. But you ain't got to be like beefing to your driver or beefing to this one just because you in a position like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, nah, it's like, yo, be humble.
Right.
Be humble to it. You know what I mean? And you go a long way. I'd rather be loved than be hated.
Yeah. It says a lot about somebody. My mom used to always say, you can tell a lot about a person by how they treat somebody they don't have anything to gain from, like the waiter or the engineer in the studio or whatever. Because you could tell the engineer to fuck off. You can smack him in the back of the head. It's all good. Your life is going to stay the same. But you're out here making somebody else's life worse just because you have enough money and fame and shit to be able to do that. It's like there's nothing honorable about that, you know?
Yeah, and they don't even get thanks to like, yo, you in a position, bro. Let me tell you something, man. It's never on our time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whatever I want to do, it's not mine. Whatever I want to happen is on God's time. It's God. When God opens that door for you to let you, all right, cool. He opened the door for us and all these other rappers to like, yo, to get that chance. But a lot of them don't see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
They think that I did that. I did that. I walked that dog. That was me. That was me. Instead of giving praises to the Most High for allowing you to be there. Because ain't nothing promised to you, man. You know what I mean? He gave you that position like that. Whether you this much rich or you this much broke or whatever. It's like, yo, he gave you that position. And I tell motherfuckers all day, like we are the same people. Like, I don't give a fuck how much money Puff Daddy got. You know what I mean? It's like, I know what I got.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it don't even got to be money. You see what I'm saying? It's like, for instance, you might be born, right? We're carrying like a billion sperm cells.
Mm-hmm.
But why did you, the one that fertilized the egg?
Right.
Why was you?
I was swimming fast as fuck.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? I didn't make the decision to swim fast as fuck.
But you swam against billions.
Mm-hmm.
But you came out. Everybody on this earth is special. They beat billions. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I tell motherfuckers, even if the child came out with no arms, he beat them other billions without no arms.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? That's just what it is. Like, everybody, the Special Olympics, or this and that, and the third. It's like, yo, man, yeah, he's special because it's like this motherfucker, he ain't got no arms and still made it to the motherfucking egg. You know what I mean? He outran everybody else. You know what I mean? So it's like people nowadays, they don't look too deep.
Mm-hmm.
They just see what's in front of their face and let it to be. Like, they don't recognize the shit that you're blessed with. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it is with me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, there were millions of potential rappers, even in, like, your specific age group when you were coming out. And, like, you and a few of your friends are the ones who not only prospered during that time period, but 25 years ago are still talked about, still out here, still relevant, still got young dudes like 21 Savage just straight up just bringing you into their lyrics, naming songs after you and shit like that. I mean, it's like hard to even wrap your head around how competitive that field was at that moment, not to mention to hold on to it for a couple decades. Yeah. It's a wild thing to think about.
Yeah, nah, yo. It's all a blessing, man. It's all a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. You know, I try my best to recognize it and be humble to it. Like, be humble. Yo, listen, man. I've been in spots, man, where I only learned about these spots in my textbooks in PS14,
mm-hmm.
or you know, IS-49 or whatever. You know what I mean? But it's like, yo, damn, I'm from Stapleton Projects, but I'm in fucking Melbourne, Australia, on the other side of the world where I'm 15 hours ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the next day. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, come on, man. It's not just us. It's a higher being, a form of energy, whatever you want to call the Most High, that's working for us, that's keeping this universe intact for all these years, billions and all this shit like that. I tell motherfucker, the sun never been late. Nighttime never came late. You know what I mean? It's always on time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, not one of us got the same fingerprint. You know what I mean? Out of all everybody on earth, nobody got the same fingerprint.
That's weird though.
How is that?
It's not considered cool for kids to even like talk about big ideas at this point. A lot of times it feels like.
Oh man. Come on, man. I told him I'm eating fruit the other day. I said, where's the fucking, there's a watermelon is there, but I'm like, where the black seeds at in the watermelon? What happened to the black? It's like, there's no seeds no more. And the seed is the original, that's where it all comes from. It starts from the seed. You know what I mean? But everything is cloned here.
Mm-hmm.
It's fake, bruh. We're living in a fucking fake-ass world.
The watermelon is an example of how fake the world is. That makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, yo, even the bananas. Yo, I go shopping. Yeah. Fucking bananas this big.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it was never that big when I was little. You know, I said, don't you ever buy these fucking bananas again.
Yeah, like our concept, you know what I mean? Of what fruit looks like, people don't realize how separate from like what, like you imagine what a strawberry probably looked like 50, 60, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Not like the way they look at Walmart, they're all big and swollen. Looks like they got steroids on
them. Oranges, yeah.
Yeah.
Oranges is looking like this, and they people want to buy because they look, oh, it was a big one, it's juicy. There's no seeds in there.
Yeah.
There's no seeds in there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything is cloned. I got to ask about my fish. That's where I'm at in my mind now. When motherfuckers be like, yo, I'm on a different planet. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't think the same as, like, I could have a conversation with somebody and they just be like I'm dead wrong. Like, no, it's just like, you ain't there yet. Maybe one day you might get it. You know what I mean? But this whole shit is fucking fake, yo. You know what I mean? It's like, nothing's the same no more. Cereal don't taste the same. You know what I mean? It's like everything is made with cheaper shit. This and that. It's crazy, B. You know, but that's where my mind is at right now with shit. Beyond the rap music and shit like that. Like, you know what I mean? Then I'm looking at, you know, the kids nowadays. It's like, yo, what are we, you know, not like that. But, you know, I'm looking at the dress code.
Mm.
And I see... We were going from jeans to spandex. You know what I mean? And a lot of tongue rings and this and that. It's like, but these are males. You know what I mean? Like, what's good? Like, you know what I mean? I don't really see like no manly figures, like, you know, with the newer generation.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like, yo.
But a lot of times, you know what I mean? It feels like marketing. It feels like, oh, if I just have plain black hair like every kid on my block, I'm not going to stand out. But if I dye my hair green, then I'm going to stand out on Instagram and maybe people will take me serious as a rapper.
You're going to rather put spandex on like your girl?
I mean, I don't think I got the body for spandex. I think you probably agree on your own part.
It's like your girl. Your girl put them shits on. You know what I mean? Like that. You know, and then, you know, I got chicks that pull their pants up and they got to wiggle their ass to get inside.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But you got to do the same shit just to put your pants on? You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's crazy to me. Like the world is just into something else, man. And I look at it as a devil mentality, man. It's like, you got God and you got devil. And right now, it's a battle for supremacy to see who's going to get as many followers on that last day. Because remember, man, for everything we do here, we're going to be judged for it. We're going to be judged for it, man. You ain't going to just go steal that bag of chips and act like nobody ain't see it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The Most High sees everything. Like, you got two angels that's always watching what you do. Your good one and the bad one. You know what I mean? So it's like, ain't nothing getting past. I don't give a fuck how you put it. Like, it's... You are caught already. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And God don't just judge you by your thoughts. It's like by your actions. Because we could have a thought. You might have a thought, I'm going to kill this guy right here. It's just a thought. But don't put that into activation. You know what I mean? It's shit like that. So it's like, yo, we can go on for days, bro. But that's where I'm at with it right now, man. It's you know, I just want the world to become aware of like, yo, B, of what's going on, even down to the president. Like, you know what I mean? I never seen a president like this in my life.
You seen Kanye co-signing him like crazy?
No, I heard about it.
Wild.
I heard about it. But I think he off his marbles too right now. Like, you know what I mean? By the time when he went to the hospital, you know what I mean? I think, remember, man, there's some secret shit that's out there and shit. And that's, you know, God is bigger than everything, but the devil is out there.
It's hard to imagine what Kanye could see that's positive about Donald Trump. I mean, I get the idea that, yeah, he kind of flies in the face of political correctness and people like the fact that he sort of says what's on his mind and stuff. But I don't think you should let those things just distract you from the fact that he's a horrible person. He clearly doesn't give a fuck about the people or anyone.
I don't know. Unless he's trying to be nice and I don't know what the fuck. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just don't sit right. It just don't sit right, bro.
Speaking of Trump, why were you with James Comey the other day?
Oh yeah, he was up at
He was in
up
stew?
At the joint. Yeah, he was up at the Colbert.
You met him.
Yep, he's up there and shit. So me and Matt just went in the dressing room, said peace to him. He was on next. He was really mad tall. Like, yo. So we got to flick with him. I'm like, yo, I'm looking up at him. I'm like, yo, you play basketball? He like, yeah, I play ball. Stuff like that. Yo, he's tall. Meth is tall. Meth taller than me. But for him to be like this much more taller than Meth, it was crazy. But he was mega cool. Mega cool. Like, real cool. I could feel him. He was cool. Like,
I bet you never thought you'd get to the point in your life where you'd be like just chilling with FBI agents like it's all good, or former FBI agents.
Nah, never. You know, I had so many so much feedback from that. Yeah. Like, yo, man, that's the director of the FBI, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, the director, like, you know what I mean? Like, oh,
former
shit.
Director, he can't
former,
do shit now.
Former director,
he can't arrest,
director.
He can't bust somebody from your hood now.
Yeah, so it's like, holy shit. Yeah, you know, because it didn't. I know who he was, but it didn't hit me like it hit other people when they saw the flick. You know what I mean?
People love when they see two people from two different worlds that they never thought would be together.
Right. Yeah. A man was going crazy. He was like, yo, I seen it. I was just like, holy shit. You know what I mean? So that's where the shout out to Comey. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man. Other than that, man, life is good, man.
Let me ask you this. As a man, you never want to see another man go to jail, but how do you feel seeing Martin Shkreli? You were very early on the fuck Shkreli train, and now he's locked up. How's that feel?
I mean, I really don't feel shit. I mean, whatever was coming to him, it was coming to him. Like, you know what I mean? Shit, I went to jail before, and he's getting a taste of it. Like, you know what I mean? For his actions. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to say, that's good for you, and this and that. And the third, it's like, yo, bro, you did something wrong, and you got to pay for it. Mm-hmm. Like, when I went to jail, I did something wrong, and I had to pay for it. Like, I had, and that was with time. So don't be in there crying, because I heard he was crying and shit, trying to say, yo, he didn't mean it, and this and that, all this other shit. It's like, yo, it's too late for that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, and then you want to act like you was a tough guy. Mm-hmm. So for you to be in jail and crying and, you know what I mean, wanting out, but you was a tough guy a little while ago and shit like that. It's like, yo, just do your fucking time, bro. You know what I mean? And that's it. Come home and make it better. But, you know, I'm not going to, yo, yo, I'm happy he's in jail. It just that, yo, he did something and his ass is locked the fuck up. You know what I mean? Right.
Do you give a fuck about the Wu-Tang album that he's in possession of, or is it not as important as people think it is?
I don't give a fuck about that shit. You know what I mean? It was an album that we didn't even agree on. Mm-hmm. We didn't agree on that shit. You know what I mean? So it was like we did a favor for somebody. It's like me doing a favor for you, you asking me, yo, and you paying me, you know what I mean? But not what I normally get paid. It's mm-hmm. just that you a homeboy of mine's, and you know, of Riz's, you know what I mean? At the time, we was cool too, but it's like, yo, I got this. Yo, I just need a verse from you. Matter of fact, I need three. Here, I got more money for you. Here, take that. Whatever. You know what I mean? It ain't the money that I get for a verse. I'm just looking out for you because I'm thinking that you're putting together a little compilation mm-hmm. for your mixtape. You know what I mean? And then to go get the album, a verse from everybody on the album, because you paid everybody through some type of private investor, and then gonna do the sneaky shit and trying to make it like it's a Wu album. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's get more money out of it. And this and that. Then come up with an idea to go sell it to this, you know, to put on the market, to right. auction it off. You know what I mean? Like, yo, oh shit, yo, put a bid on it and it starts going, you know, it got value. You know, first $1 million, then it came to $2 million, and Richard Branson was going to buy it I think it was $5 million I heard or something like that, that came from out of his mind. It was like, yo, but that wasn't what it was. Mm. I didn't even really hear the album. You know what I'm saying?
And it's like, it was weird when it even started coming out like that, because I'm looking at it as a fan, like, all right, you're telling me that he got like 10 or 15 Wu-Tang songs with like various people from Wu-Tang. It's like, you know how many hundreds of unreleased Wu-Tang songs I'm sure are sitting on some hard drive in RZA's house?
Yeah, like 32.
Oh, okay. But I mean, yeah, there's tons, you know, of unreleased, man, songs. Every rapper, yeah, got tons of unreleased songs. That doesn't, yeah, mean that it's representative of what. If the whole Wu-Tang, right, was like, we're going to make an album the next couple,
right,
of months.
Like right now.
That would be a very, yeah, different album, exactly, than whatever this is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not about like a bunch of verses. It's about the, yeah, energy of the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? And that's what it was. He fucked around on whatchamacallit and did that shit. And then now it's like, we fucked up. You know what I mean? It's like, it gets into the hands of Skrelly. You know what I mean? And that was it. Like, none of us never heard it, really.
Fuck it anyway.
Yeah, yeah, fuck it. You know what I mean?
What do you, what makes you passionate these days? I see you got the green juice. You seem like you're living the healthy ass lifestyle these days.
I'm trying to, you know what I mean? trying to. Yeah, you know, I mean, we get older now, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We older now.
So can't live like I used to.
Yeah, nah, you can't. You, no, know what I mean? It's like we doing the same shit. Body's not working right. You know what I mean? You know, you got to try to right now. You got to save yourself now. You know what I mean? Now is that you at the stage of like, you know what, B, I got to straighten my shit up now. So, you know, because once you start hitting 50 and your clock go this way, it starts going down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got to work on your body, yeah, and your mind as much as you can before, yeah, you start to hit that stage where you're not going to be able to repair yourself like you want to.
Right, right.
I'm at the point where if I get...
mind, body, and soul.
Yeah, if I go home, I have a healthy dinner, and then I get 8 hours of sleep, I literally am waking up in the morning thinking like, fuck yeah.
Right.
That was, you feel good. I did it. I got it.
And then if you go to the gym, you feel even better.
Oh, yeah. Gym is,
you know,
important.
You know what I mean? Like, yo, to get that blood just all running around and, mm-hmm, shit. So you feel even better, like, with that, like that. So, you know, and that's that, you know. But, yeah, man, I'm, you know, my mind is just in a total different space right now, you know, than what a lot of other people is right now. They could be thinking about that, but I'm over here, mm-hmm, thinking about this, like, oh shit, you know what I mean? I've been, yo, it's just crazy, B, you know? Can't even explain it to you, B.
You earned it.
You know what I mean? I'm over here deciphering everything. I'm over here trying to figure out the questions, why? You know what I mean? I wanna know why about a lot of things, like, mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? That's where I'm at. Why is the sky blue? Why is water wet? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things like that, like, you know what I'm saying? And
you still ain't figured those questions out?
I figured it out. Right. I mean, the water is wet, and I haven't figured out, but I know why the sky is blue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just only a reflection.
It still just needs more pondering.
Yeah, it's a reflection.
You ever think about doing
that? Rizzo told me that.
You ever do acid and mushrooms and shit to expand, yeah, your consciousness?
Yeah, I did.
But
I did,
just when you were younger?
I took mushrooms while ago. I ain't take them in a minute though. But yeah, mushrooms. If I perform on a mushroom, kid, it's over. You know what I mean? I'm going in on you.
I can't even imagine the studio session of you off the shrooms. Yeah. I got some shrooms if you want to do that, actually.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm scared to do shrooms. I'm scared to do any drug right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? But if I was to do something, I might do the shroom. Mm. You know what I mean? Because, you know, it ain't going to stay on me for all them other days. Mm. It shit don't. But
I'm going to show up at the studio with a big stack of cash and be like, yo, I need the Ghostface mushroom verse. Let's do this. It ain't going to work.
You never know with my work, you know what I'm saying? Hell yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's all good, though. So we good?
Yeah, we just hit the hour and 10-minute mark. So, I mean, the conversation, we could sit here and talk all day, but I'm just on it, man. This is, like, crazy to get to hang out with somebody that I've been listening to since fucking elementary school. It's a beautiful thing.
Right. Nah, y'all, it's a blessing, bro. It's like, yo, I appreciate every fan, you know what I mean, that grew with us, still keeping us alive right now, that just knows us. And that's why this album is very important, because I just want to put it back. I want to put it back. Even if it don't get the recognition, like, you know what I mean, like that, but just to know that the fans know, like, yo, you know what, them guys still got it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That means more a lot to me than, you know what I mean, having to fuck around and sell a million and, you know, or 10 million records or whatever. Long as, you know, the people know, like, yo, you know what, these guys can go get it. It's like Jordan coming back, like, you know what I mean? But this is different, because all this comes from the mental. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We don't got to get on the ball court every night and be putting your body through the wear and tear. Mm-hmm. It's like, nah, this is here. You know what I mean? So just to show that talent and for brothers, for people to recognize, to know, like, yo, they still, that means more to me than anything.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you doing this interview. It's incredible. It's an honor.
All right, cool.
Thank you so much.
Nah, respect, brother.
Much respect. Yeah. Hey, this has been No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes.
Yeah, definitely.
Appreciate you, my guy.
Peace out. Appreciate you too, bro. I'm ballin' like an
It's cold.